Scripture reading is taken from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created Jacob, he who formed Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, and everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. May God bless the reading of his word.
This morning, we are very glad to have Pastor to bring us God's word. He entitled the message, You Are Mine. Pastor, please.
By faith, you have come and worship the Lord in the midst of the pandemic. The Lord has noticed your faith, and he will reward you for that. May the Lord give you the peace that transcends all understanding in these difficult times. We shall put aside 1 Thessalonians today, but we shall look at this topic, Your Mind, Isaiah chapter 43. There are adversities and uncertainties in life, many of them. So recently, some primary sixers and mothers just received their results. So they will start to ponder as to mull over as to what school they should enroll their children in. It is a small matter to some of us, but it's no small matter to them. It's a vexation of the spirit. It can be very troubling. But life is difficult not simply because of the PSLE or the examinations, but life is more than that. There are many things that make us afraid, many things that can stumble us and make us unable to carry on with life. So when we are facing difficult times, sometimes we wonder, will the situation ever get better? And if it does, and when it does, will I still be alive? Our life is really filled with many adversities and uncertainties. What is your help, or who is your help? Positive thinking? Well, positive thinking cannot solve the problem. I believe you have friends who, when they know they are in trouble, they are willing to help you. But we also understand this. We also understand that as much as friends love us, but sometimes it is simply beyond their ability. So sometimes we ask them for help, they say that I wish I could, but I don't know how. And that is the truth. So on whom do you look to for help? Dear brothers and sisters, since the Lord, you must look to Jesus, the true and living God. You must look to Jesus. You must look to the true and living God, because he can help you and he will help you. Look to Jesus. You must remember, whenever you are in trouble, and things around you start to collapse, you can look to God. You have God, you have Jesus. Because you are precious to God, as this verse emphasizes, your mind, your God's. We shall look at 5 points. Number one, you are precious to God. And what will God do for you? Number two, God will protect you from harm. Three, enemies, even your enemies, will live to benefit you. And number four, not only will God protect you, help you, God will give you a home, a place of security. And number five, the last verse in verse 7, reiterates the introduction to this passage, reiterates verse 1, you are precious to God. There are quite a number of points. You can remember these 5 points by remembering these five letters. P for precious, H for harm, E for enemies, H for home, and P, a repetition of point number one, precious. But still, it's a lot of points. So how do you remember it? I was just cracking my head as to how to help me remember these points. You can, perhaps you can remember P, P-H-E-H-P, P-H-E-P, P-A-P, not P-A-P, P-H-E-P, Well, hopefully it will help you to remember the points, okay? So P, you're precious to God. H, God will protect you from harm. E, enemies. H, home. And P, become full cycle. You're precious to God. P. Okay? P, hey, P. All right, we shall look at point number one. You're precious to God. Chapter 43, verse 1. How can you tell that Israel, the people of God, and we, Christians, the people of God, how can you tell that we are precious to God? How do you know? We know that we are precious to God. You can know that you're precious to God by observing God's actions. Just like you observe the mother's action, right? How do you know that the mother treasures and loves the baby very much? So when the mother will carry the baby for 9 months, a big football that's not filled with air, that's heavy. And you seldom hear a mother complain. I say, well, very tired, back aches, but you seldom hear because I wish, the mother happily or patiently carries the baby. And after the baby is born, for the next several weeks, again, patiently and with much endurance, the mother will get up every 2 hours, 2 hourly, the mother will breastfeed the baby. Can you imagine? For the next few weeks, every night, the mother will get up 2 hourly to feed the baby. You can tell that the mother really loves the baby when you look at the mother's section. In the same way, you can tell that God, we are very precious to God, that God loves us a lot when we examine, when we note God's actions. And that's what we're going to do today. Verse 1. But now this is what Yahweh God, or in the versions, the Lord, L-O-R-D in uppercase. This is what Yahweh says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. How do you know that you are really precious to God? Observe God's actions. Let's see what God did for His people. He protected them. He created the conditions, the necessary conditions for His people to survive. He made sure they survive. This verse is spoken to Jacob. Jacob is a metonym, means it represents the people of God, Israel, because Jacob was the ancestor of the 12 sons who gave birth, who later formed the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jacob was the ancestor of Israel. So Jacob represents the people of God, Israel. What did God do for Israel? First, God created Israel. This word created is the same word that the same word, the Hebrew, we know that our Bible is translated from the Hebrew language called Hebrew. So the same word, bara. So the same word that's used here is the word that is used when God created heaven, the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1 to make a place so that human beings can survive and live happily on earth. When God created oxygen so that we don't suffocate to death. God created land so that we can live on land and not drown in the seas, in the waters. God created the ozone layer to protect us from the radiation that comes from the space. God creates nature, and God creates food for us so that we can live happily ever after. And so God creates conditions necessary for our survival. He protected us. That's bara. And not only that, so God created the people of God, ensured their survival as God created heaven and earth and fit it for life on earth. And God also formed Israel. Who formed you, Israel? God also formed. Formed is the word yatar, the Hebrew yatar, that was, it's the same Hebrew word that was used to describe when God created man and woman in Genesis again. Genesis chapter 2. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, when God created a man and a woman. And this yatar is slightly different from bara, because yatar tells us that God has to apply the right pressure, has to cut the shape of a human in just the right way, so that human beings can live, are strong, yet very gentle. We are very strong, we can carry a bag of rice, but yet we are so gentle with our fingers, we can feel, we can touch a baby who's hurting and say, it's okay. By our gentle touch, we can comfort, and yet by our strong muscles, we can carry very heavy things. So human beings are fantastic. We are so strong, our skin is thick enough to withstand abrasions, but yet our skin is soft enough to feel the caress of our loved ones, of a child. Wonderful, isn't it? Even when a strand of hair touches our face, we can feel it, right? So gentle, strong, yet so gentle. So God, when God yatar human beings, God formed them in such a way that we are very special. And also, the same word yatar is also used to describe when God formed a woman for a man, and a man for a woman, so that they can live happily after. They can, we have the best companionship. We can enjoy the warmth of our home, of our loved ones. We can be encouraged and run life's race. So this is how God took care of human beings, and this was also how God took care of the people of God. In other words, verse 1 wants to tell us that remember how God took care of you, Israel, people of God, how he protected you. Do you remember? And that's what, and how do we know that God regards you as precious? Just as God ensured Israel could survive, don't forget also how God protected you during danger. I know there are abrasions in life. I know there are difficult times in life. But do you remember? You are here today. You did suffer some cuts and bruises here and there, but you are surviving, you're all right. And it's not by chance, because God has been protecting you during dangerous times. And remember how God comforted you when nobody could comfort you, when you're lost, when you thought all is hopeless, and God comforted you during sorrowful times. Do you remember? 1 year, 2 years, regularly, in times when you think that the whole your life is so dark, but somehow you emerged unscathed. Do you remember? It was not by chance. God has been taking care of you. And furthermore, above all, God, Jesus died for you to give you eternal and abundant life. Jesus died for you to give you eternal and abundant life. And Romans 8:32, can you recite this verse? Not only did God give us Jesus, Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, with Jesus, graciously give us all things? In other words, if God did not hesitate to give you Jesus, what is most precious to him, his only son, one and only son, how is it possible that God will also not give you the things of this life, which are far cheaper? God has taken care of you. Today you are who you are today because God has been taking care of you. He has been protecting you. Don't forget that. And so therefore, from how God has been taking care of you in the past many days, through dangers, to emerge unscathed. Yes, maybe things have not turned for the better, but things will be all right. Because God will take care of you. You are precious to God. And not only that, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. When you go through difficult times, when times are fearful, when times are dark, God says this, I will redeem you. And this word redeem is an interesting word. You can understand this word, especially in light of the book of Ruth. Ruth is a wonderful book. But the word redeem here is often used to refer to how a brother who's alive, he marries the dead brother's wife. He marries a widow. Why? So in the Old Testament, God stipulated that if your brother dies, then the other brother, younger, older brother who is living, this brother has an obligation to marry the dead brother's wife, the widow. Why? So as to ensure that this dead brother continues to have a descendant on earth and carry his name, And not only that, so that this dead brother's ancestral land will not be lost to somebody else, so that this dead brother can continue to have descendants who will inherit his piece of inheritance, can continue to enjoy the blessings of God. And this is the duty of a brother, and this word is redeemed. And this is what the brother does for his dead brother, out of kindness, making sacrifices to ensure that this dead brother continues to have descendants to inherit God's land. And this is what God does for us. In other words, when you go through sufferings, God will never allow you to drown and die in sufferings. Don't. God will not allow that. God will take care of you. Things will be all right. Things will be all right. It doesn't seem to be all right, but things will work out. I've summoned by you by name, you are mine. And not only does God help us, take care of us, God knows you by name. As much as our Prime Minister loves the country, will take care of us, but quite surely, almost surely, that Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong will not know your name if he sees you on the streets, right? Why? Because naturally, not that he doesn't care, but because he's also a human being, right? But God knows your name. When we say that God knows your name, it means that God cares for you so personally. He knows you personally. And this verse 1 climaxes with this phrase, with this phrase, you are mine. Okay? And in Hebrew, it's very interesting. Hebrew says, mine, water, mine. You are, you belong to me, mine, you are mine. So he wants to emphasize that you're very precious to me, mine. That's why he puts the first word as mind. He puts it in front. You're precious to God. So don't be afraid. And not only will God, are you precious to God? God will protect you from harm. Please look at chapter 43, verse 2. It says here, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You know, God will protect you in dangerous times. And waters and fire represents the two extremes of danger. You know, in very dangerous times, God will ensure that you emerge unscathed, unharmed. God did not promise us that there'll be no danger. This kind of promise is an empty promise. It doesn't happen. It only happens in heaven. There's no such thing on earth. Don't think about that tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow there'll be no danger. There will be danger tomorrow. I hate to tell you the bad news. If not tomorrow, there'll be one next year. If not next year, there'll be one 10 years later. There will be. We have to understand this. Let's be mature. But God promises that he'll protect us unharmed. Can you recite this verse? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to men. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God will provide a way out for you. God will provide a way out for you. Take heart. There will be a way out. Just say, "Wow, I think my ship is going to my ship is going to sink." If Jesus is in your ship, how can your boat sink? Cannot lah, no way lah. Jesus is in your boat. How can it sink? Cannot sink lah, not possible lah. It will not sink. Things will work out. Take heart. And number 3, not only will God protect you, even your enemies will live to benefit you. Even your enemies will live to benefit you. Look at verses 3 to 4. Why is it that we do not need to fear enemies who oppose us? Verse 3, for I am Yahweh your God, the Holy One of Israel. your Savior. Who is this God who protects us? He's Yahweh, your God. Now, Yahweh, in the ancient times, they believed that every nation, like maybe the Hittites, the Egyptians, each has their own God. The Romans have their own gods. The Indo-European people have their own gods. So each nation has their own God to protect them. And who is the God who protects Israel? The God who protects Israel, his name is called Yahweh. And who is Yahweh? The gods of the nations are like that. This God is the God of the plains. So when you fight wars, you make sure you fight in the plains. No? So when these people fight, they make sure they fight in the plains because their God is the God of the plains. That means not on the mountaintops, but the low-lying areas. So you fight on home ground, you win. So play football, play home ground. Some gods are gods of the mountains. So if you fight in the mountains, you sure win. But you fight on the, but if your God is God of the mountain, you fight on the plains, you lose. But this God, Yahweh, if you look at the Bible, it emphasizes this God is not only God of the plains. He is God of the plains, but not only God of the plains. He's God of the mountains, but not only God of the mountains. He's God of the sea, but not only God of the sea. He's the God of the entire universe. He's the almighty God. And that's why he's so special. This God who protects you is the almighty God. He will not fail you. And not only that, he's the Holy One of Israel. Now, the Holy One of Israel does not only mean that God is holy, yes. But it means more than that. What's mean the Holy One of Israel? It means that the Holy One of Israel means not only is God holy, everything that belongs to God, like Israel, is also holy. It's also sacred. Sacred means you cannot touch. So anybody who touches Israel touches God. Anyone who dirties Israel dirties God. Anyone who insults Israel insults God. Anyone who bullies Israel bullies God. Because Israel, God not only is God sacred, what belongs to God, Israel, is also sacred. Cannot touch, cannot bully. And this God is your Savior. In other words, the one who looks and protects, who looks over your shoulders, who protects you, is this all-powerful God and a God who is very zealous for you. He will zealously, jealously protect you. Now, this God is your Savior. And what does he do for you? I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Cush and Seba are basically near Egypt. So let's make it simple. It is basically Egypt. In other words, I give Egypt for your ransom. I give Egypt to save you out of trouble. And when did, and that happened in history. Some many years ago, we know that the people of God, Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. They were bullied. They suffered under the hands of the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And so God sent Moses to save Israel out of Egypt. But then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, refused to let them go. So if you read Exodus, you remember? So God sent 10 plagues. That increases intensity. That culminates, that climaxes in the death of even the heir to the throne of Egypt. The emperor's son, the king's son died. In other words, what did God do? In order to force Egypt to let Israel go, his people go, God did not hesitate to destroy the entire Egypt. So if you read the templates, increasing intensity, basically at the end of the day, even the official said, you better let the people go. Egypt is ruined because of you. So the officials told the Egyptian king. God, in order to save tiny Israel, actually was ready to sacrifice the entire great Egypt. And Egypt was the greatest nation at that time. God did that in the past. God will do it again for you. And that's the meaning of verse 4. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. In other words, now God will not hesitate to destroy the entire world, the nations, in exchange for your life, just to save Israel, tiny Israel, just to save you and me, the people of God. Wonderful. This is how zealous God is for you. You know that? You do not know God. You do not know this Savior. Not only does the Bible teach that, when you go through life and face sufferings, you will experience that, hey, God is really zealous for me. And God will not hesitate to destroy the entire world just to save you. And that's what Romans 8:28 also says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And this, all things, if you look at the context, something with chapter 8, verse 14, it refers especially to sufferings. In other words, God will engineer things. History seems to be haphazard. There, one war, here, one war, one civil war, here, one calamity, here, one earthquake, here, one nation, here, happy, there, sad. It seems to be all over the place, right? Things seem to be happening all over the world, right? There doesn't seem to be a theme, a general principle that as to how history runs, right? It seems to be haphazard, right? But it's not haphazard. The events that happen in history appear to be haphazard to us. But there's actually a theme that will run through the entire human history. And this is the theme. God will work all things, engineer all things, good and bad, dark and light, calamities and fortunes, in such a way that God will work, will engineer things, twist it around so that it will bring us benefit. God works for the good of those who love him. And this is what God does for you. That's the reason, and that's the meaning of chapter 43, verse 4 just now. God will give, even to the extent that God will exchange the lives of the nations just for you, just for the people of God. This is how God, how zealous God is for you. And number four, not only will God help you, save you, God will give you a home. Look at chapter 43, verses 5 to 6. God will give you a home, a place of security. Verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. What happened was, you see, why is it that God wants to bring his children from all over the world back home? Why? Why is there a need to do that? Well, if you look at history, we know that Israel sinned against God. So God told Israel, stop worshipping idols, stop being naughty, stop sinning, stop living a self-centered life, seek God's glory, don't love the world, don't love sin, stop doing bad things. But Israel did not hear. And God sent prophets again and again to warn them. So every prophetic book is a book of where God reprimands the people. So God warns them again and again, you know, for how long? 500 years. 500 years. God scolds them, warns them. They stop, stop. But they refuse to listen. God gave them chance again and again. That's the reason why when people speak to you, you must listen. No? Sometimes the words are not pleasant, I know. I know. Sometimes the words are not pleasant. And sometimes pastors and church leaders have been given the unwanted task of saying the truthful things. But you must listen. And so after God has warned them, they refuse to repent for 500 years. And then disaster strikes. So God sent the superpowers, first Assyria, who live in the vicinity of Assyria, and then Babylon, to attack Israel. And they brought the people of Israel and scattered them to all over the world, especially to the nation, to today's Iraq. So they were scattered. They lost their home. They were second-class citizens in a foreign land. And they cannot sing the Lord's song because they are in tears. So they were scattered to Iraq. And that's the reason why. But we thank God and praise God. God is very kind. God is angry, but only for a little while. Sometimes we are angry for a long time. And worse, some people only forgive people at their deathbed. But God is very kind. God is angry, but only for a little while. Because God loves us. God will never give up on you. You know that God doesn't give up on us? God never gives up on us. There's always hope. There's always a second chance with God. Thank and praise God. And so, God, that's the reason God says here, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth to where? Bring them back home. And I will let them live in peace and security and in abundance. Home is a wonderful place. Why is home so special? Home is special not because it is as comfortable, as nice as the hotel, but home is very special. It's definitely nicer than the hotels. Why? Because, well, let me tell you a story. When I was young, I lived in a kampung. So when I lived in a kampung, we all live in one big room. My parents, my children, and I'm quite naughty because I'm the only son. That the Lord have mercy on me. So I tell you, all of you sit on the plank. I want to have this whole bed. It's a queen-size bed. So selfish. So I'll kick all my sisters down and they sleep. So that was kind of living conditions I lived in. I was a real spoiled brat. I only realized that not too long ago. So that was the kind of environment. So it was a kampung house. And outside is the kitchen. So we only have one big room, and then outside is the kitchen. And the kitchen is where also the externals are. That's where the trees are, the dogs live. That's where strangers can get, that's where strangers walk. Okay. So, sometimes when I sleep, when I was a child, I sometimes get up in the middle of the night. And it's a horrible experience. I hate to get up in the middle of the night. Why? And when I sleep, my mom will have a little light turned on. But I realize that when we are asleep, my mom will turn off the lights. Don't know, is it to save electricity or what? I don't know. But so when I wake up in the middle of the night, it's pitch dark, no? I put five fingers in front of me, I cannot see my five fingers. It was a horrible experience. So I hate to get up in the middle of the night, but I do. But sometimes when I get in the middle of the night, I feel very warm, very comforted. Why? Well, sometimes when I get in the middle of the night, I notice that the lights outside are turned on. You know why? Because my dad drives a taxi, I was a taxi driver. So he comes home past midnight. So when I know that the lights are turned on, I know my dad is back, my father is back. So I open the door and I'll just say hi to my dad. Yeah. Sometimes my dad will be there just enjoying the breeze. Or sometimes in kampung, we bathe outside. bathing. So I feel very comforted when I know my dad is dead. So even if it's still pitch dark, but I can hear voices. Because my mom and my dad, they were chit-chatting. So once I told my mother, hey, very noisy, I want to sleep. Then my dad said, you sleep now. Why can't we talk? But although it was a little noisy, I felt very warm inside because I know that my mom, my dad, and my father and my mother are awake. There's security in the house. I feel very secure despite the pitch darkness. This is what we call home. And this is what God gives to you. Even in the midst of the storms, and the ravings of life. That's what God does for you. And God, even in dark times, God will ensure that you have a home where there's security. And why is the house of God, the home of God, so secure? Because the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps around to those who fear him, and he delivers them. That's why the house of God, the home of God, is so secure. Not two soldiers guarding the house, no. When we say the angel of the Lord, it's a host of angels that numbers into tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. This is the meaning of the angel of God. Encamps around you to protect you. And that's the kind of home that God gives you. And number five, he concludes with how the passage began. Point number one says, you're precious to God. And point number five, again in verse seven, reiterates what verse one has emphasized, you are precious to God. Let's do it, verse seven. Verse one emphasizes you're precious to God. Verse seven also makes the same emphasis, you're precious to God. How do we know that? Because the words that are used in verse seven, you can find it in verse one also. Let me show you the common vocabulary, okay? So we know that it's a repetition. So verse 7, you have the word name. When I say same word, I'm talking about Hebrew words. Huh? Okay, name. And in verse 1, you also have the word name. And in verse 7, you have the word created, bara. And in verse 1, you also have the same word created, bara. And in verse 7, you have the word formed. In verse 1, also, you have the same word formed, which is yatzar. So it's the same. So we know that verse 1 basically concludes, verse 7 concludes verse 1, what the passage that started with verse 1. Verse 7 repeats the emphasis of verse 1, you are precious to God. But there's a difference. What's the difference? Both emphasize you are precious to God. We are precious to God. The people of God are precious to God. But verse 7 also tells you why you are precious to God. So verse 7 says, you have God's name. God's name means what? You have God's name means, just like my surname is Tan, right? So I'm Tan Kim Seng, Andrew. So my father is also has a surname Tan. Right? Why? Because it means that my name has my father's name in it, has my ancestor's name in it. It means that I am my father's child. Okay? So not only do I have a name, this name is very special. It is the name of God. My name, Yahweh's name, God's name. Means what? We are a child of God. Why are you precious to God? Because you are a child of God. You have God's name, my name in it. And why are you precious to God? God did not only create us, God created us for my glory, for Yahweh's glory, for God's glory. You're precious to God because when God created you, he did not only create you just like that. There's a reason, important reason, because you're created for the glory of God. See, wow, God is so selfish. Now I understand why God loves me. Because it's for his own glory, he's selfish. No, that's not the meaning. When he says he created, he tells them, I created you for my glory. He's trying to tell you, there's a reason why I want to assure you that you're precious. So God gives an important reason, and there's an important reason to assure you that you're very precious. Because I created you for my glory. In other words, if anybody takes away your glory, he takes away God's glory. If anybody tarnishes God's glory, tarnishes God's name, insults God, he insults God's name, God's glory. God's name is at stake. And that's the reason why you can be very sure, because God's name, God's glory is at stake. You are precious to God. God will ensure you do well for his glory's sake. And that's why we have such a solid assurance, because the stake is eternity. It's God's eternal name. So you can be very sure God will never allow anybody to take away your glory, to take away your well-being. I want to speak to those who have not known Jesus as your Savior, who are not a Christian. We all understand that life is very difficult. It's extremely difficult. Even if it's not difficult now, it'll be difficult one day because you have to face death. What are you going to use to face death? And life is more difficult than you think. Only a 6-year-old child will say life is easy, because they never have to worry whether there's food on the table. Tomorrow, automatic, there's bread, butter, kaya, or whatever, and rice on the table. They never say, hey, ma, tomorrow got food or not? Has a 6-year-old ever asked you the question? Never, right? But when you're an adult, you must understand this. Life is more difficult than you think. Very difficult. It is impossible for you to live life. It's not possible. Anybody who says that he can live life alone has not given good thoughts, has not given careful thought to life. It's very difficult. And this is what God promises you when God, Jesus is your God. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. God will protect you. Why? And verse 7 gives the reason. Everyone who is called by my name, because you have God's name. And as I said, right, God's name means you've got surname, lah. Means you're a child of God, lah. Because you're a child of God. So if you want the protection of God to live life, the strength of God to live life, you need to be a child of God. And how do you become a child of God? John chapter 1, verse 12 says, yet to those who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. You must believe in him. You must receive him. And who is the him? This him refers to Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. He said, why? Because you must depend on, believe in Jesus means you must depend on Jesus. Then you can become the child of, a child of God. Why must you depend on Jesus? Why must you ask Jesus for help? And this is the reason. Let me briefly explain, quickly explain. We have sinned against God. Our relationship with God is broken. Because God is holy, he must punish sin. It's not possible that you sin and nothing happens. It has not happened, not because it will not happen. You are wrong. Even a police, even in law, at law also we know, you litter, the police will catch you. It's a matter of time. Unless, because you must be punished for your sin. Because God is holy. But we thank God that Jesus died for your sins. By right, you must die. But now Jesus died in your place. Jesus was punished in your place. And so when you believe in Jesus, and because he loves you, he will wash away your sins, forgive you your sins, and then when you're clean, spotless, then you can become a child of God. So if you want to become a child of God, you must depend on Jesus. This is the meaning of believe in his name. You must ask Jesus to be your Savior. Is Jesus your Savior? Who are you depending on for help? Let me quickly just go through PAP. Number one, you are precious. We face many dangers in life, but God has faithfully protected you in time past. Jesus even died for you. These are proofs that you are precious to God. Count your blessings. God will protect you now, in the past, and God will protect you in the future. Don't fear. H, harm. Are you in some danger? Don't worry, you are much unscathed. Things will be okay. There will be bruises, there will be some cuts here and there, but you will be unharmed. Enemies, even your enemies live to benefit you. Don't fear opposition. I'm not afraid of opposition. Of course, I don't quarrel with people, I don't need to fight, but I'm not afraid of enemies. I'm not afraid of people who oppose me. H, home. God will not only protect you, but he'll also give you a home, a place of rest and security. Why? Because you're precious to God. And the reason is this. Why is God so zealous for you? Because your well-being will determine God's glory. As God will not allow his glory to be taken away from him, God will not allow your well-being to be taken away from you. Take heart. Let's pray. If you want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can simply tell the Lord Jesus Christ this. Jesus, I am a sinner. Save my soul. I want to believe in you. Jesus, I am a sinner. Save my soul. I want to believe in you. It's that simple. If you say that from your heart, you will be saved. Our Lord, we thank you that because we are your children, you will watch over us. We will emerge unscathed, even in times of great danger. Thank you for giving us your most precious promise. Help us, because we have such a precious promise, to follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.